Hi, friends. Welcome back to Out of Focus. I'm Shannon Stewart, and it's Thanksgiving week.
Bam.
What's it time for?
Giving thanks?
Yes. And stretchy pants.
Well, joggers.
A lot of people.
Joggers, football, family, friends, naps.
Naps.
Getting ready for Black Friday the next day. There's all kinds
of stuff. Well, let's back it up. Have you ever actually been shopping on Black Friday?
Oh, absolutely.
You have?
Yeah.
What time did you get up and what time did you get out of the house? Because I know they start really early. Did you get in those long lines?
I've been out as early as 6 in the morning. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. I like tradition. There you go.
I think I've been out a few times, but I never went shopping that early, so.
I like the crowds. I like trying to find a place to park. I'm weird that way. There you go.
So let's talk about Paul for a minute. He says to give thanks in all things, not for everything, but give thanks in all things. So we're going to share some laughter today, some stories, and a reminder of God's faithfulness because he's been faithful.
Sounds good.
What about Paul?
What about him? Really? What do you mean when he said that?
Yes, he was in prison.
I think
it was dark.
I think he was just making stuff up. But no, obviously, we give thanks in all things. And it's like when he said in Philippians 4, verse 7, he wrote that from Rome, chained to a guard. And he talked about when you're anxious and worrying, you pray in all things, regardless of your circumstances. So I think what Paul's saying is, obviously, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be thankful if you lose a loved one or if you have a disease that you're battling.
Maybe you lost a job. That's really hard during the holidays.
You're not going to be grateful for that. If you think of the story of the 10 lepers in Luke 17, 10 were healed. One came back and said, thank you.
I love that story because I try to be like the one leper.
Yeah.
Going to bed at night, I don't pray. I thank the Lord. And I fall asleep thanking the Lord for whatever comes to my mind.
We just skip by. It's almost like our attitude with God is like, what have you done for me lately? I know you healed me then, but I got emotional things now that need healing or whatever. It's easy to be thankful in all things if it's a miracle, if God heals you or you hit the lottery or whatever it is. I just talked to two families today whose worlds turned upside down like almost overnight financially. And the only encouragement I could give her was that, and Paul said it in all things, like this is the situation that God has placed you in right now. And you either believe Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose, or you don't believe that. Not just when things are going well, but even when things are going bad. I said, so you'll come out the other side of this and you'll probably be able to look back and see what God taught you and you can be thankful for that. In the middle of the storm, it's tough. But I think what Paul was saying is you're going to come out of the storm. God's going to bring you through. So even in the middle of the storm, you can give thanks for the anticipation that you will come out the other side and God is going to somehow use it for your good.
I was just thinking of times in my life where it was hard to give thanks because of my circumstances. Mm-hmm. I might have been in Chicago living in a closet, mm-hmm. but I really was thankful that I had a place to lay my head. It was clean. It was safe. And I was saving money. I didn't have money to pay for my own apartment. So God opened that door. But there were definitely times where I suffered great disillusionment because my desires didn't always line up with his will. And my mind drifted off into dreamland. And what if he does this? Or how is he going to work this out? And instead of surrendering the outcome to him, I got crushed because it wasn't his will.
Yeah, I wish I was so spiritual I could say that. You know how I love Christmas. And the one Christmas, I was in an apartment by myself with cancer. In fact, ended up in the emergency room because I had a complication on Christmas Day. And I don't know that you could get any lower emotionally than that. And I would love to be able to say, wow, I sat in my apartment, so I'm still so thankful for God, what he's doing in my life. I'm not sure any of us are that strong. Paul is, though.
It's a discipline because sometimes you don't feel like worshiping God, but David worshiped.
You have to find in those moments what it is that you are grateful for. And if you're a believer, what you can always go back to, regardless of my circumstances right now, and I think this is where Paul came from, I have a Savior, Jesus Christ. So worst case scenario, I've got eternity with him secure. And I think that's why Paul, he didn't look at the circumstances of life. He kept his eyes on the big prize. And most of us, especially in America, we're pretty shallow. It's the here and now, our bank account. Are we happy at work? Are we not happy at work? How's our family doing? And that's where our focus is. We're pretty much laying up treasures on earth, But I think Paul was so focused. I mean, what did he say? Absent with the body is present in the Lord. I'll take that. So he just had an eternal perspective.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Most of us just have an earthly perspective.
Yes.
And all we can, we get a case, I call it ingrown eyeballs. All we can see. So the worst case scenario is to be able to stop and pause and say, but I have a Savior. I have someone who loved me so much and he has a reason for this and I don't understand it. I may never understand it.
And we don't ever know what he's spared us from, what he's protected us from, the sicknesses that didn't even allow to invade our bodies.
Yeah.
We don't even know. We have no idea the whole picture. And he is a merciful, gracious God. And as I look back on my life, he's protected me from so much. And one day when I go to heaven, he's going to reveal even more to me. And I'm sure, it's going to bring me to my knees.
Yep.
So what's a Thanksgiving memory that you have that makes you smile, warms your heart?
My mom and dad both came from large families, 6 and 7 siblings. But my mother's side, my grandmother, she was a poster picture for grandmothers. She was everything you think a grandmother should be. And I just remember as a child, all of my aunts and uncles, all of my cousins, all getting together at my grandmother's house. And there just was, you know, when you're a kid, everything's better. You don't have stress and the worries of the world. And so you had cousins you hadn't seen maybe in a year. The way the house smelled with all the food, it was going to be a great day of eating and fun and playing football and just those simple times of how precious family and friends and traditions, just traditions sometimes are. But those will always be my favorite memories.
I still remember my grandpa's, he's no longer here, but my grandpa's brown gravy. It was so good. I don't know how he made it. He used to make a oyster dressing. I don't really like dressing that much. It's not my thing, but family loved it.
Yeah.
And we would gather together. We did start a tradition later on where we would play cornhole and we would have a cornhole competition. That was a lot of fun. My sister and I are super competitive. So are my cousins, and my aunt and uncle were super generous. And so they would put a prize for whoever the winner would be. And so we were after it. So it brought some laughs and it was nice getting together because sometimes you didn't see them as much during the year because of schedules and sports, school, whatever it might be. So it was nice to all be under one roof, just laughing and talking about things in our life that happened and
just simple times.
Yeah, simple exactly. Time. What encouragement would you share with the listeners or those who may be watching on YouTube this Thanksgiving season?
One, if you're hurting and lonely, there's something about going through tough times. People tend to isolate themselves. I've never understood that. I'll reach out to someone and say, I've missed you at church. And they'll say, well, I'm just going through a tough time. I'm like, well, that's when you need to be there. You need to be among people who love you and care for you.
But when you were depressed, did you want to be around people?
No. No.
So you can understand.
So I totally understand.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I don't know that the best thing you can do, and it's really what got me out of my depression, was decide I'm not going to live in a cave.
No, you got to force yourself. Yeah.
And so no matter how emotionally just in bondage you feel, you have to make yourself available. I would encourage people to get out of that cave like Elijah when he was hiding in the cave. Get out of the cave. And get involved with friends, reach out to someone, but don't spend it alone. That is the absolute worst thing you can do. But on the other side, I think there's a lot of us that have people in our lives that it wouldn't take long. We could figure out who needed some encouragement at Thanksgiving. And setting an extra place or two at a table and reaching out to someone who we may have no idea how much they need to be reached out to. I think we take a little bit of inventory and think, God, who has God placed in my life right now that I could be an encouragement to? I'll never forget one year when I was pastoring at Hope. We had quite a few homeless people that attended there. They actually lived in the woods behind the house, and we had built our building with homeless in mind. So we had a locker room where they could shower. We had a laundry room where they could wash their clothes. And many of them we helped get off, but many of them preferred to live the way they lived. But they were always hanging out at the church, and they'd come by and have a cup of coffee with me and things like that. But one guy in particular, Roger, I remember after all the Christmas Eve services, I think we did like 11, 13 Christmas Eve services.
Wow.
I saw him in the lobby, and he actually was carrying a shopping bag. And he had, with what limited resources he had bought some gifts for people that had maybe like got carried him to the doctor or done something for him. And he was trying to locate those people. And I kind of helped him. And then I just asked him, I said, all right, it's Christmas Eve. What are you doing? He says, nothing. I said, you want to go home with me? And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, I got an extra bedroom if you want to spend the night. And he said, no. And so I kept talking to him. I said, listen, I'm going to get my truck and I'm going to pull it around. And you be out there. We're going to go to my house. And if you don't want to spend the night, that's fine. But at least there's people there. So he went with me, got my truck. But driving home, it was about a 20-minute drive. It's the first time I really heard his story. And it was quite a moving story. But just bringing him home, one was to see the expression on everyone's face when I walked in with a homeless man. But my favorite memory of that is he had this little backpack. And for some reason, he had a box of toothpicks in his backpack. So he was going around at the party, chatting with people, and he would pull out his box of toothpicks and open them up and say, would you like a toothpick?
Aww.
And I to see him interacting with people, but then to see their defenses going down. And at the end of the evening, I said, well, are you going to spend the night? He says, I really want to go home, which for him was back to the woods, to his tent. So we took him back. I took him back. But you just never know how God can use you in any moment. And it may not have to be a homeless person. It may not have to be that extreme. But I guarantee you there's somebody in your life this Thanksgiving that's lonely and discouraged, and you could be an incredible blessing to that individual. I think another thing is it's a good time in the year to thank people that maybe they know they hurt you. And what they would just love to hear from you is, hey, just so you know, I've forgiven that and let it go. I believe God's angels work overtime during the holidays. I think hearts are more sensitive, hearts are more open. And instead of just getting caught up in ourselves,
which is easy to do.
Yeah. Just look around and see how could God use us to be an encouragement to someone during this holiday season. For many of us, it's a time of incredible celebration. For many, maybe because of loss of loved ones or circumstances, who knows what it is. It's the darkest time of the year. And part of it's because they look around at everybody else who seems so happy, but maybe they've lost a spouse, or they've lost a child, or maybe they've lost their income and they've been unemployed and they can't experience the holiday that they would normally have. There's lots of opportunity for God to work and to use us as part of that healing process for people. So I would encourage all of us kind of get out of ourselves.
Yeah, and I hope instead of looking around or looking at what may not be or what they're still hoping for, that they look up.
Yeah.
Because God can change their situation or circumstances in a split second. And if it wasn't through some of the things that I've went through, I would have never known that he is my comforter. He's my protector. He's the great physician. He's delivered me from different physical ailments. He's all those things. Mm-hmm. And so we get to learn the different facets of his character when we go through trials or testings. And he's an incredible God. And I'm thankful, so thankful that I know him. And it brings up a funny conversation because I was trying to encourage someone this morning to start their day with thanking the Lord for 10 things, because it really does produce in you a heart of thanksgiving and gratitude. It changes things, because when you start saying things out loud, you're like, wow, I really do have a lot to be thankful for.
Yeah. Even writing a note or sending a text to someone who has meant something to you in some way, motivated you. Maybe they were a mentor to you, but they made a difference in your life. Psalm 103, where David said, bless the Lord, all my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. But he's talking to his soul. He's not talking to the people, it's my soul. And basically he went through like five things. He says, who pardons your sin, who forgives your iniquities, who delivered your life from the pit. And if you start thinking through those things that God has done, regardless of your circumstances, you will be reminded that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're a child of the King.
An heir of Christ.
And he's at work in your life.
Amen. I have to know this. What are you excited about eating on Thanksgiving? What's your favorite dish or favorite? I know you're a sweet man, so what's your favorite dessert?
If we're talking Thanksgiving, pecan pie.
Oh, I was going to guess that.
Yeah. I know, because I've heard your family's not big on turkey, but I'm still a traditional turkey guy.
It's probably, you are?
Oh, yeah. It's probably the only time I eat it, but I can flat put away some turkey.
Wow.
And I like the dressing. Well, you know me. I'm a traditionalist when it comes to everything.
Well, you know, we can always bring a turkey.
But it can't be one of those turkeys that are just sliced. It's got to be like a turkey.
Would you like to stuff it this year and we can surprise the family with it?
I have not done that.
Because I remember you stepped it up last year for Christmas.
I did do the prime rib roast last year.
You took the little thyme. You called it thyme, everybody.
It was thyme. Hey, it's spelled T-H-Y-M-E.
I was like, hold on a second. What did you just say?
It says right here on the paper, thyme.
Yes.
But I overcame that.
Wait, so what's it called?
And I felt like it's time, but it's spelt fine. I think anybody would see that.
I almost wanted just to let you go to the grocery store and say it to one of the workers, because I knew you probably wouldn't be able to find it. But
I felt like I was set up. Somebody who spelled that knew that one day I was going to drop. Well, when you've never cooked in your life, thyme is an easy mistake to make.
Oh, I know what it was. The store at the mall. You said, hey, guess what? They have Artesia in the mall. And I was like, what did you just say? So I did I not grab a worker? And I said, will you please tell him?
Yes, you did.
But I need to hit record on my phone.
Everything has to be recorded on your phone.
What do you call this store?
I thought it was Artesia, but I think it was Aritzia.
Yes, yeah. See?
Again, innocent mistakes.
That's awesome.
Hey, I was a PE major. So there you go.
Well, let's do this on 1, 2, 3. We'll wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving.
Okay.
1, 2, 3. Happy Thanksgiving. We love you guys, and we will see you next week. Remember, when life feels out of focus, there is always one who brings clarity.
Focus your camera. Oh, there's always one who brings clarity. And buy me a present on Black Friday.